Greetings to each one this morning as we're gathered here to worship the Lord. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Certainly greet you in the name of Jesus. Jesus that has chosen us. He has chosen us. He has redeemed us. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. And He has enlightened us. It's interesting that Norman mentioned about the truth and that people would understand. And it's interesting. My thoughts went to the writings of the Apostle Paul. And Paul had a heart. He had a heart to speak to the people, and that the believers would gain an understanding of God's purposes, of God's purposes for the church, and how He accomplishes His purposes. And through those things that were a mystery, those things were a mystery. When Paul was preaching, he preached about the mystery that was hidden, and people of previous generations didn't have that mystery solved. But he was trying to tell them what it's all about. But today, it's all unveiled to us through the Scriptures, if we just grasp it. If we just take a hold of it. I woke up last night, I believe it was. That song, Break Thou the Bread of Life, was just ringing in my mind. And that's when I decided to sing it today, before we go with the message. That the Lord would truly break that bread that we receive. And like Jesus said, I think it's in chapter 6. Is it John chapter 6? I'm not exactly sure. But anyhow, He said, if any man will eat this bread, he will live forever. Do we understand that statement? How precious it is for that God wants to have us walk in truth, to be those children that are walking in truth and understand what God really wants to do in our lives and the purpose that He has for us. I chose to read chapter 1 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, a book that I... A chapter, and of course they're all precious to me, but it was one that I frequently used, and some of the youth might remember this in the German, and I still enjoy the German language, but I guess I would be speaking Greek to a lot of our young people. They wouldn't understand that, so I'll preach English for you today. And so it is quite something how Paul was, he had the unity of the believers, but he wanted to let them know how much God would want them to gain the understanding of His purposes for the church. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have the redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after all that that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of the glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is come to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Thus far, the scripture that I chose to read. And Paul is very clear in what he is reading. Of course, we're not going to go through the whole book of Ephesians. We'll take enough time here just with one chapter. But Ephesus was a very populous city, famous for their great temple, Diana, whatever the name is, the goddess of fertility. And the silversmiths were very busy. They had a real business of making these little images, I guess. And many of the Ephesians were employed in this work. And of course, many, according to history, many of them lived in luxury. They lived in luxury and they enjoyed it. Paul was preaching there for 3 years. He was preaching the gospel to them. And during that time, there was the first as Paul labored there and shared the gospel with them, he labored, I think, day and night sometimes. And because of that, because of his love for the people, for the souls of the people, he preached. And the most prosperous Christian church was established. And of course, the saints of Ephesus latched onto this. I say the saints. I think a lot of them got converted through his preaching there. Because actually, it was there that that Paul preached, and he left. He didn't leave anything undone, I don't think. He labored there, and because of his preaching and where the truth of Christ went soaked in, they found out that they were far away from the truth. And you know what? There's a Acts 19, verse 19, somewhere in there. They were so convicted. And a lot of the Ephesians were involved in magic things and curious arts and things like that. And what they do? They brought them things where Paul was preaching. I understood. I'm not sure just how it was. But anyhow, they brought them things and burned them. They found out this is not what we want. When Paul preached that God has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should live in him, that we should be holy and without blame in love. And they burned these books of magic and curious arts and so forth. And you know what? As I was reading and meditating and praying, and I just wondered this morning if I'm allowed to ask you, is anyone here this morning that has some movies and some books that are not fit to read, that are not fit to see? Is there anyone here? Let's think on these things. It's been a number of years since we allowed the DVDs to be used. And you know, I was afraid at that time there's people going to be into things that they shouldn't be. So I'm just asking if there's anyone here this morning. Now, them people, I mean, they were serious. They got gathered all them things up, and I forget. I think I'll just turn to that verse in Acts chapter 19. It was serious business to do away with the things that they were convicted of. Well, if I can find that chapter now. In verse 19. I thought that was. But anyhow, there it says, if I could find that verse, I can't right now. Maybe someone else has found it. Acts 19:19. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. No wonder it didn't work. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, if we would gather together all those DVDs and things that we have in our church today, would we have that much money tied up in them? I mean, some of us have a lot of them. So if there's anything that is questionable, please get rid of it. It will not help you to draw closer to Christ. They burned them. And Paul earnestly taught them and desired that everybody would turn to Christ and live for Christ and know the full implications of their calling through Paul's preaching. And in God's internal, in his eternal counsel, God established the church and predetermined the character of those that would be members in it. Excuse me. And the called who are redeemed and cleansed and made alive through Christ's work. So we are adopted. We are, he says something in about being predestinated. Well, you know, the word predestination has been misused by many theologians. Excuse me, my throat's not quite like it I'd like to be. So, anyhow, where was that? No, I lost my thought. Anyhow, he was interested that they would really and truly turn to the truth, that they would really be a part of those that are redeemed, members of God's family. God wanted a family, and that's why he sent Paul to preach. And then in John we also read that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And where are we at today in that? Do we really understand the power that is available to us? And those who identify with Christ and his church, we will enjoy, as he says here, that we will enjoy having the spiritual blessings and heavenly places, sitting in that, in those places, those heavenly places. We are chosen, like I said, before the foundation of the world. You know, our citizenship is in heaven. Our affection is set on heaven. And our destination is heaven. Let us not fail of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has chosen us. And, you know, some people, when I was reading all this, my thoughts went to, what is that? Oh, Everett's not here. Kit Farrell, is that correct? He has a number of, they usually have some in the bulletin. We are, when I was a young boy, my sister and my younger brothers, we played church, and we had a good time. And when our children were growing up, they played church too. Samuel would preach; he'd be out on a stump in the lawn there, and the others were sitting around there, and he would preach. Today, he's really preaching. Anyhow, so many people desire to have the benefit of the church, but they're not really interested in being the church. And so let us calculate on ourselves a little bit, maybe. How are we really, really involved in the church and in the purpose that God has for the church? And really search and look for the ways that he is accomplishing his will in our personal lives. Yeah, people seek the benefits of the church, but they're really not interested in being the church. They seek the benefits, but they don't want to submit to the will of God and surrender our all give it to Christ and accept the changing process of the new birth. Those that want to be in the church, but really not be the church. So we're not playing church today. This is serious. And we truly want to be the church. We want to give ourselves wholly unto God. Now the verse there in verse 4, according as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, H-O-L-Y. But then we need to give ourselves wholly unto God, W-H-O-L-L-Y. You understand? Holy. And the whole, we need to give everything. And he has redeemed us. Redeemed. The church consists of those that have been redeemed by Jesus Christ and their sins are forgiven. Yes, we fail at times. But the provision, this provision, exceeds the Old Testament atonement that temporarily put the sins on hold, or whatever the words are there. They just temporarily covered the sins. But Christ's blood removes the sins. It removes the sins. And granting complete forgiveness and full redemption. Full redemption. God's design for man's redemption has a present fulfillment. That only hints on the future unfolding of eternal bliss for the Christian. Yeah, streets of shining gold await us, the land of fadeless day. You know, when our trials and troubles and toils are over, our weepings are past. Yeah, with yonder sacred throng, we will be forever with the Lord. That's the journey we're on, brothers and sisters. Young children, I know you don't understand a lot of this, but may you honor your mother and your father as they teach you in these things that God is interested in teaching. And then we come to the sealed. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit's presence identifies the believers as God's possession. We are bought with a price. Therefore, well, those words just come out, just left me. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit, in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to him. And he wants us. And part of the Holy Spirit's work is to bear witness that we are the children of God. And evidence of the Spirit's work is in the believer's life is the fruit that he's bearing. Diotrephes in our lesson today didn't have good fruit. Didn't have. So, you know, Jesus said, by the fruit ye shall know them. And that fruit is explained in Galatians 5, I think verses 20-something. The fruit of the Spirit or of the flesh. And we are enlightened. God has given us his word. And he has the Holy Spirit to help us get the understanding and the purposes of his work in us, in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It gives the believer hope and bodily, in the bodily resurrection, assurance of God's ultimate victory over Satan and all the forces of darkness and the anticipation of sharing in that victory. God wants his family at home. And some of these days, with all the violence and so forth, I appreciated the devotional that Brother Steve shared, but all the violence and everything that's going on, we long. The older I get, the more homesick I get for heaven. And we want to be there. And so let us be enlightened in the teaching that God has for us from the Holy Scriptures, that we would continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and not waste away the time. I think that song that Steve had this morning had something like steer us away from the earthly things or something like that. I can't quote it just now. And the church will experience boundless exaltation with Christ. That's who we want to see when we go and get the glory, is it not? Our Savior and Lord. Amen. Yeah. Christ will be exalted as the victor. He is the one. He is the victor. I wish I could get that. I guess I should have wrote more down. But anyhow, he triumphed over sin and death, over the devil. He is the victor, and he is the one that is in glory, interceding for us to do away with anything that hinders our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. And God has employed his almighty power, that power that which he wrought in Christ, in verse 20, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and so forth. And so we have that privilege of being with him when we leave this earth. We're on a journey. Some of us, I guess I'm the oldest person here today, I guess. I don't know. But that's not what's really concerned, is how are we living? How are we serving Christ? How are we honoring him? And how are we doing away with the things that are not truth? The truth of the Holy Word. And like I said, Christ will be exalted as the victor for all eternity. God had employed his mighty power to make it possible for all the redeemed to be with him throughout all eternity. And so, I don't know, much more could be said. Time is here to close. But Jesus said, not all those that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those that do the will of God. Those that do the will of God. You know, many say, Jesus went on to say that many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And he says, then I will profess to them, I never knew you. I said, never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And we want to follow peace with all men and holiness without no man, she see the Lord. The story that Jesus told in Luke 15, I believe, concerning the prodigal son. You know, he did what he did. And this is, if there's anything in our lives that isn't right with God, we want to make it right. But this boy, this young son, he came to the point where he says, what am I doing here? He finally woke up and he says, I'm going to go back home and out tell my father I'm not even worthy to be your son anymore. There's quite a lot in that story if we really analyze it. You know, that is how God feels. That father came running and met him and kissed him and hugged him. And the boy said, I'm not worthy to be your son. But you know, Christ will forgive. The recipients of God's love will be the full, just like the young boy was received from his father. After having wasted all the gifts that he had given, and yet he was restored to full sonship. Brothers and sisters, young people, that's what God will do as we come to him and repent of any sin. And he will share that exaltation with Christ in the place that God has for him with Christ. So, as recipients of God's love and favor, let us live up to our high calling in Christ Jesus. We owe a lifelong debt of gratitude to our Heavenly Father for all that he has done for us. Oh, let us give ourselves unreservedly, wholly, and completely to the work of the church. Let us follow the steps of Jesus and make our calling and election sure. We cannot thank God enough. May we truly try to understand the things that God has for us. Yes, God is so good. God does not want anyone to lose out, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth and to the purpose that God has for each one of us. Thank you for your prayers. And let us all just cling together. Yes, follow peace with all men. Let us strive for unity. And let us do away with the things of the world that hinder our walk with Christ. Life is earnest. Life is serious. And the grave is not its goal. You know, we want to go to heaven. We don't want the bodies that of the can't think of the word I wanted. Anyhow, the bodies that of non-Christians that go to the grave, they will never see Jesus. But we have that hope beyond the grave as Christians. Let us not give up. Let us press on for the prize of God in Christ Jesus. Let's kneel.